This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. It's been crazy. Golden State Warriors back in the Western Conference Finals. Shout out to the people who've been saying that even since the regular season, because you already seen the greatness of what the Warriors can do. And what is that? Develop players, develop a culture that young guys and even veterans buy into and are selling to the fans, and everybody's with it. It's a beautiful thing. I know a lot of people are like, oh man, the Warriors back. You have to see the beauty in it. They developed each and every one of those players. I know everybody wants to remember when Durant was there, and I'm not talking about that. You have to see the beauty in what these guys have done, how they were on a two-year hiatus due to injuries, especially because of Klay Thompson. And you have to think of his mental fortitude and what it must have took, you know, for him to get through not one injury, but another major injuries, keeping him out for two seasons. To be able to do that, you know, to be able to stick with it, to just understand that you're not going to get better right away. You're not going to be the Klay Thompson two-way player, should have been a top 75 player that, you know, we all know. Like, that is resilience. That is perseverance. That is the definition of mental strength. You know, when you talk about like that Mamba mentality, I mean, this goes back to people who understand what it is to have that Mamba mentality. Tim Grover, if you've ever read his book, Relentless, that is relentless, or relentlessness. That is unbelievable. If you haven't read the book, never heard of it, Tim Grover, Relentless, please pick it up and read it and apply it to any facet of your life. I promise it'll not only change your life, but it'll change your mindset. And that is the first step. You change your mindset, good things will start happening, as long as it's obviously in a positive way. And it's a way in which you don't give up. You understand what you're working towards is not going to be there tomorrow. It may not even be here a year from now. May take 2, 3. You don't know. Klay Thompson had no idea how long it was going to take him to get back to the top. Being able to come back with his team, fit in, knowing that he has other teammates that are rising stars in their own right, in Jordan Poole, and even other guys who are going to continue to get better. Mark my words, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, he keeps going on the same track that he was going on. Remember Kawhi Leonard? Well, he wasn't just a star player. You know, that was work. That was development. I'm telling you, keep watching how the rest of these guys develop. They have a winning culture. They have the supportive cast around them, meaning the coaching staff that will nurture that and let it grow. I mean, look at Moody out there. I know a lot of you guys are like, well, who are you talking about? A rookie player that Steve Kerr has put a rookie in, big moments, a closeout game. I mean, for a coach to give that vote of confidence to a rookie like that, knowing that he has Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, you know, the emergence of Jordan Poole. Guys like that, that's that next man up mentality. The fact that Steve Kerr is willing to do that, reward guys. You played well. We saw what you were doing in practice. You wasn't shying away from the moment. And you stepped up. You know, when guys like Otto Porter Jr. are not able to play, that is huge. people aren't making a bigger deal out of this as they should. It's remarkable what the Warriors have been able to do and will continue to do and what will continue to build. Because even if you have guys like out there with Dylan Brooks saying that, oh, they're getting old, you know, referring to the core, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph. At the end of the day, if you have that next man up mentality and you have guys who have played in big moments like this in their rookie season, what do you think they're going to be in 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? You're going to have a winning culture. And those guys are going to remember that, that you said that about the guys who built that winning culture. You know, it's amazing. Klay Thompson, shout out to you. I said that beginning in the playoffs, I said if Klay Thompson understands who he is, just remembers that this is a marathon, it's not a sprint, take your time, play within the system, do all the things that have made the Warriors successful, and you will succeed in your own right. And he's not only taking that advice, he is showing us. The offense will come. That's muscle memory, man. You've been doing that since you were a kid. Your offense will come. It's just getting the details right. Getting your footwork right. Getting comfortable. Getting that confidence back. Putting that effort in on the defensive end. Remarkable, guys. I really hope you guys are appreciating this, because I feel like a lot of people don't appreciate it until guys are retired and done. No. Live in the moment. We don't do that enough. We're always looking for the next best thing. We're always looking for, you know, to tear guys down while they're in their prime instead of really realizing what we're seeing in front of us. And this leads me into my next thing. So, Draymond Green, right? He's making that transition, like a lot of players are, into the media, right? Because, which I can understand that they're kind of tired of not letting the players, you know, create the narrative or at least be able to put out their story, what they feel is the truth, right? Everybody has their truth. And how difficult that might be to sit there and play and just being told to, you know, shut up and dribble, right? Just concentrate on your career, because you only have but so many years, right, to be able to play the game that you love until you're not able to. So guys are really setting themselves up for the media, for their second career, if you will, which I think is awesome. You know, it's very entertaining if you've been hearing Pat Beverly and, you know, Draymond and the rest of these guys, or even Charles Barkley and Shaq. Shaq and Charles Barkley with Kenny inside the NBA, and Ernie Johnson, of course, the great Ernie Johnson. They have the best show. It has all those ratings for a reason, right? Because not only do you have someone that's in the media, but you also have the players and their aspect of things, you know? And I think it's a healthy balance. Like anything in life, it should never be just one-sided. It should be, you know, a healthy balance of both. Some people say the media is biased, but then you can argue so are the players. I mean, you saw Patrick Beverly, right? You heard exactly what he was saying. He obviously had some type of personal, you know, vendetta against Chris Paul, and he decided to get up in front of millions of people and voice his personal opinion with him and not completely speaking the facts. That can happen, right? Just like anybody, we're all human. So the point is, it's great that you have that player input, and you also have some members in the media and having their input, and just to kind of lay it all out there and see what people, and then let, you know, the people decide what what opinion, you know, what they want to take. Because I think that's the most, I think that's the most truth we're going to get, you know. And then let the fans decide. Let the people, the experts, whatever you want to call them, let them figure it out. Now, Draymond Green, after winning, you know, the Western Conference Finals against the Dallas Mavericks, and we'll get into the Dallas Mavericks, and shout out to Luka and that team, especially Jason Kidd and the culture that he's trying to create or has created. Remarkable season. J. Kidd's a genius. He was when he was a point guard, and he is now as a coach. But, yeah, we'll get into that. But, like I said, Draymond Green had a little bit of pressure from Shaq after being asked, who do you want to see in the finals? Now, for those of you who don't understand, that is a very, very difficult position to be in. Because, obviously, Draymond is still playing and will be playing in the finals for a championship. And he asked him a question as if he was already in the media. And don't get me wrong, I understand he has his own podcast and technically he signed on with Turner and he does technically in the media. But I mean, like, at that point, Shaq was almost asking him to choose a side in that moment. Because, you know, as a player, you know, the last thing you want to give is anybody any motivation at this point. You know, especially the Miami Heat that were already down, been counted out. They were, listen, I wasn't counting out the Miami Heat for one reason and one reason only. That was Eric Spoelstra. Wasn't counting them out. I felt like Miami's just been quiet. They've put their heads down. They did what they had to do while everybody just sat there and counted them out. Yes, the Celtics, awesome turnaround season. If there was a comeback team award, Celtics would have it because we witnessed so much turmoil with the Celtics going back a few years of them getting it together, trying to figure out what is our culture, how we're going to make it work. And like anything else, it starts at the top, right? It started with the coach. You change the coach. You got to have it out, right? You got to establish that hierarchy. You got to establish, what are we doing here? What do we need to do to win? All the greats have done it. They've all done it. When you saw Wade decide to take that back seat to LeBron James, and it took them a year to figure it out. But once they did, it was over. Some teams, as you get older, right, it's wisdom, right? Like when the Boston Celtics, when KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, they figured that out quickly because they understand that their window was closing. So they didn't have a whole nother year. They felt like we needed to get this together now, and they had Doc Rivers, who is able to manage egos. That's a big thing. Some people just think it's about X's and O's. It's absolutely not. If you have a lot of talented guys that understand the game, understand how talented they are and what role they play on the team, but are constantly butting heads with their teammates, you need a coach that can regulate all that, figure it all out, create a culture, make these guys buy in. Make them understand that it's not about them. Make them understand that it's about the team. Make them understand that if they do that, we will be holding up that trophy. That will be ours. And Ime Udoka deserves all the credit in the world. And it's no surprise who he sat under and watched and was able to come up with the ultimate, I mean, that was big. Because Jason Tatum, obviously Jaylen Brown, and you also have Marcus Smart. You know, you had big egos, talented guys, very different roles, but roles that all were very important. One cannot be counted out. They all need each other. They had to figure out how to work together. And the fact that Ime Udoka was able to do that is amazing. And now you see what's happening. Look how far they got. Now, granted, they've been this far before. But it's a little bit different, right? Because last time when they were that far, LeBron James was on the other end of it, and in his prime at that. But this time, they're older, they're wiser, they have a system, they have a culture that they've all bought into. Now, if you watched the game last night or even a couple nights, they have moments where they step out of that culture and it's just way too much isolation. Now, if it's just Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum running the show, you're not going to win like that. They're going to put up good numbers, individual stats. That's great. But what does it mean for the rest of the team? When they win, it's because they get everybody involved. And when you get everybody involved, I'm talking about on the offensive end, because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can eat whenever they want. We already know that. But when they get everyone involved, they are so difficult to beat because you see the defense intensity just skyrocket. Like, guys are defending. Guys are getting steals. Guys are playing for one another. That's what you want. You want guys on the other end saying, I'm going to steal this ball so I can throw it up to Jason Tatum or to Jaylen Brown to set up my teammate. You want that culture. You want that. And whenever the Celtics get away from that, as you can see, when they start to isolate too much, the defense has already figured them out. And then it just makes it so much easier for the wounded Miami, right, to get back in it. With Tyler Hero out with the groin injury, some people say, you know, I don't know, they're reading too much into it. I mean, if a guy's hurt, the guy's hurt. They said that that injury can make him, you know, that can make somebody be out for a month. And we're sitting here arguing semantics about, oh, but it's this, so when he should play. And listen, if you can't go, you can't go. It's not even about can he suit up. He probably could. But if it's going to be at the detriment of his team, why would you put a guy out there? And you know what the media is going to do? They're going to tear him apart. Or not even just the media, the fans. Oh, he was the sixth man, and he's doing this. He's playing like that. Come on. You already know. And then you're going to say, well, if he's playing, then obviously he should be playing well because he's – you can't win. So I felt like Spoelstra, he did the right thing, said the right thing. That's the only responsible thing to do. Shut it down. Guy can't go. He can't go. And guess what? You got Strauss showing up. They have that next man mentality, right? That Miami Heat culture that everybody hates. Why do people hate, like – you know, things that make sense, right? Like, when it comes to teamwork, playing hard, playing defense, people don't like that. I don't know what it is. I have not figured it out. It's so strange. But the point is, the reason why you keep seeing these lopsided victories, yeah, you can attribute it to injuries, but injuries has always been a part of our game, and I wouldn't just say it's just because of injuries. It's not just because of that. It's also because of mentality. It's also because coaches are still trying to figure out when to shut it down. I think as a coach, that's probably the most difficult decision to make, right? When you're down by so much, or you can just see the game, like, schematically, they already have you figured out. And I'm not trying to use that word quit because that's just ridiculous. I mean, guys who play at this level, coach at this level, you don't do all that. You don't get to that point just to say, oh, I'm going to quit. Or I'm going to, no, that, I'm sorry. I don't accept that. But I think what happens is it's a long series. And sometimes depending on how much you respect your opponent, you're going to assume that this series can go as long as possible. Or depending on your strategy, if you're, obviously you're not going to tell your team this, but I'm just saying, like, if you're kind of in that position where you're the underdog, you want to wear them out, right? Like, if they're the bigger team, the bigger guy, you know, you want to wear them out. You're hoping that they get tired in a longer series. You know, if you're younger, more healthier, you know what I mean? Like, it's like sort of that. Because obviously, if you're in the same respect, if you're like the bigger guy, you know, you want that to be over quickly because you can just knock them out. You know, I think that's why the Warriors were in that rush to kind of just knock Dallas out. Let's not let these scrappy, you know, second round undrafted guys that nobody expected to even be here, let alone to be playing in the Western Conference Finals. Let's not give them a long series that may benefit them. Let's knock them out. Miami, hardworking. Can't say enough about Jimmy Butler. I mean, that dude, 47 points, I don't know how many rebounds and a ridiculous amount of assists. Listen, Jimmy Buckets. I just love how this guy really doesn't care about stats, because most guys who care about stats, they want to consistently, maybe not score 47, but they want to be in that upper echelon category where they're talking about winning a scoring title every year. But Jimmy Buckets does not care about that. And they're still, you know, they still won the most games in the East. Like, he does not care about that. He just cares about winning. And that is a fact, because if they needed him to score those points last night. So he scored 47 points. Just like in game one, like when they need him to score that many points, he does it. Don't get me wrong. Bam Adebayo needs to step up. Got to do it. Kyle Lowry injured, I understand, gotta step up, gotta do it. And I'm so glad that Dwayne Wade reached out to Jimmy Butler before last night's game and said, they don't care about your knee. They don't care. Your legacy right now will be written based off of this game. Don't let them take you home. Do everything you gotta do to win this game, to just secure that legacy, because people will remember this. People want to make fun of Miami fans, and they're always showing up to the game around second quarter, halftime, you know, because it's South Beach, right? You know. But they care. Their fans care. They want to see them. They're there when it counts. It is true. I love what I've seen from Jimmy Buckets. I love what I've seen from the Miami Heat. And like I said, I wasn't counting Eric Spoelstra out. This is definitely going to be a dogfight. And at the same time, this is also going to be a fight between the X's and O's, you know, between Ime Udoka and Eric Spoelstra. Ime Udoka is cementing his legacy right now. He's showing you what he can do in his first year as a head coach. That is the first year as a head coach of the Boston Celtics. The first year as a head coach, period. Amazing. Also showing what former players can do as a coach. Not saying that every former player should be a coach, but showing you that a former player can coach if they want to. Amazing. I love the playoffs. I love everything that's going on right now. That's why I just went on that huge tangent. But back to Draymond and how he was put in that position to choose, right? I'm still playing. I'm still a player. I'm still very much in it. About to enter the finals. And I'm being asked by another former, you know, a former great, and Shaquille O'Neal, top 75, won multiple championships. On who would I like to see? And Draymond just said, I know who we're going to see. We're going to see the Celtics. And obviously he said this before last night's game, but I'm just, you know, tying it all together. He said he knew he was going to see. Not that he wanted to see them, that he knew he was going to see the Boston Celtics. As if this was already like a 3-0 deficit that the Miami Heat were in that couldn't get out. This was a very much alive series. And yes, Boston is favored, like, at that moment. But here's the thing. Miami was wounded, right? They had so many different injuries, different guys out of the lineup for different reasons. And obviously Boston had the same problems. But I think it's like Boston was just looking for that extra motivation, like looking for that light at the end of a dark, dark tunnel. And you have somebody saying that that can potentially, very much likely, be your opponent. And they're already counting you out as if you don't have a game to play. A closeout game at that. And Jimmy Butler puts up 47 points. You have the Miami Heat saying, nah, we are not going out like that. We are not going to let this man be right. Udonis Haslem calling him out saying, you broke the code, Draymond. Because everybody knows, especially as a player, that it's not over until it's over. And they're still very much in that series. But he automatically thought about his post-career, right? Because he was in the media setting, right? He was around media, former players, but media guys. He was in that atmosphere, getting comfortable, feeling like he needed to make that initiation. You know, like that feeling, that peer pressure. That's what peer, kids, if you're listening, that's what peer pressure looks like. If you saw it with Shaq asking him that question, so in how he asked him that question, and then his response after he answered it, like, oh, that's the real Draymond Green. There you go. Draymond did not have to answer that question. He did not have to go there. He inspired the Miami Heat. Now, how far that inspiration will go, who knows? But if you recall, I'm still sticking with my pick. I said it would be Miami in seven. So far, I got the seven part right. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to see the Boston Celtics get to the finals. It would be nice, honestly. But at the same time, I'm not mad at hard work. It's all about earning it. It's not about who you want to see, who wants to be there. Who cares? In the playoffs, it all comes down to who wants it more. Every game. Who wants it more? And the last thing you want to do is give anybody any motivation. And I'm not going to say it was a good thing that what Draymond did or it was a bad thing what he did, because Draymond's a smart guy. He thinks before he speaks. But it's going to be interesting to see why he chose to go there. Was he really just caught up in the moment and just completely let his guard down and Shaq took that opportunity? Or was that calculated? And he wanted to see a game seven. Oh, who knows? Who knows? But that was interesting. Now, but like I said, we'll wait and see to see exactly what Draymond meant by that, if that means anything. If Miami happens to win the Eastern Conference Finals and Jimmy Butler receives the Larry Bird MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't. And then goes on to the finals and gives the Warriors a run for his money. I don't know. But that would be interesting. As you know, the Warriors are a tough, tough team just based on their culture and based on what their beliefs. And it's very hard for a team to beat a team that is so unselfish. It's hard to beat a team that's unselfish. Yeah, you just have to look at History will tell you that alone. But another thing I really wanted to get into about the All-NBA selections. Yes, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Now, should just all media members have a vote on somebody's salary, though? Absolutely not. That's where I do believe you have to have other input. By other input, I mean former players. But then again, that can be biased too, because guys, you have to understand like how tricky this can be. It's easy for people to just say, okay, only the players should just talk about or have a say in other players' money or different trophy situation or whatever the case may be, picks on all-star teams. And it gets tricky because right now we're in a space where we have the older generation, right? Like the OGs seem to be commenting on the younger players, and you have the younger players commenting on the OGs, and it's not necessarily in the greatest light, right? You have JJ Redick going back, you know, talking about Bob Cousy and how he was playing with a bunch of essential workers, right? With the firemen and different things. And you have, you know, Bob Cousy going back at JJ Redick pretty much saying it's always the untalented guys that want to have all this, you know, say-so. Now you have James Worthy. He's talking about how guys, you know, are not learning their fundamentals because they're not staying in college long enough, right? Because he talks about the greats and how they stayed in college for at least 3 or 4 years. Not only grew as a person, but also grew as a basketball player, understanding those fundamentals. And you have guys, and this is his words, not mine, all they do is shoot threes, practice threes, right? Lift weights, get tattoos, tweet on social media, and that's it, end quote. Like, ouch, right? And then you have other players. I'm not going to get into names and the different comments that they made, because it was definitely, you know, they discussed what Magic Johnson and James Worthy like to do during halftime, you know, when it came to their extracurricular activities. And I'll let you look it up and to see exactly what I'm talking about, because I'm not going to go into detail on that. And you'll see why once you look it up and let me know how you feel about that. So you can obviously see that there's, I mean, obviously we're just talking about the negative, because there are guys out there who actually do pay homage to the older generation and are extremely grateful and have gratitude to what they left for them and what doors that they opened for them to allow them to be able to play a kid's game at a very high level and get paid so much money for it that the older generation can only dream of, right? But those doors needed to be open. You needed pioneers, you needed those trailblazers, you know, in order for them to be able to earn the fruits of their labor. Quite literal, when you look at how much those guys were getting paid back then. So that's why you need some sort of balance. You need to have that middle person, right? You definitely need some type of checks and balance situation, because you can see how out of control this can get and how extremely personal and emotional this can get. Because this is, those comments that I just, that wasn't very long ago. These comments were just in the coming weeks, and it's just been back and forth, and you're just kind of waiting for the next comment to drop, you know? And not, well, I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm not necessarily waiting for it. I'm kind of hoping it doesn't happen. I'm kind of hoping that somebody actually does speak up and kind of say, hey, you know, knock it off. Like, let's stop with the back and forth. Let's bridge that gap, you know, because at the end of the day, we're trying to make this league bigger and better than ever. And I think they're succeeding, because I mentioned even on my last podcast about how you don't have the super, super talented guys in the league that are actually playing in the most meaningful games right now. And that says a lot. It also shows you where we're going, where the owners plan on going, right? Where Adam Silver plans on going, because he's telling you there will be a pay for play in the next CBA, in the next negotiations with the contracts. And guess what? There should be. I mean, how some of these people can honestly miss that much work and still get paid is remarkable. You can't miss that much work anywhere, and expect to still have your job. It just doesn't work. I'm sorry. It makes sense. I've heard the complaints. I listen to a lot of fans. I listen to people who have NBA League Pass and that don't necessarily talk about sports. They're just a genuine fan of the game, and whenever they have free time, they try to watch all the basketballs they want. You know, they're all into it, basketball junkies. And to not be able to watch the most talented people to ever hold a basketball is ridiculous, because that's what they pay for. You know, to pay for an NBA League Pass on top of whatever other situations that you have going on, it's expensive. And I've heard even some guys saying that they wanted some type of even refund, because it's like, come on. You know, if you're a Nets fan, right, and you don't necessarily live in that market where you get those games, and you choose to pay, you know, for NBA League Pass, and you weren't able to see them. And that goes for anybody else out there. I just mentioned Brooklyn because those are the most complaints I've heard from. But at the end of the day, it's just the truth. We have to be mindful of that. That matters. It matters when you think about even globally how people who they really can't afford it, but this is what they love to do and this is what they choose to spend their money on. And if they're not getting the best product on the TV screen, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Sales are going to be down. People are going to be looking to go to other sports that haven't been sold on basketball yet. There's many different things, many different reasons, and people may not see that. But in the grand scheme of things, that makes sense. When you have other leagues that are definitely trying to get back into running, like baseball, and doing everything that they can to be more competitive, and that's a whole other story, what's going on with them. But you get where I'm going. It's important. Guys need to understand how important the media can be. And not all media members, because trust me, I've heard some of the questions at the end of games or during, you know, on the sidelines and different things. And it's like, no wonder why they don't want to answer the question or to be bothered, because, you know, sometimes they're really just trying to stir things up. And I don't blame them. But at the same time, there also are a lot of really good journalism going on out there. And a lot of really good reporters who do take it seriously. Media members who do take, especially their voting, seriously. People lose sleep over this stuff. And I'm not talking about for 1 or 2 days. Like, for a whole week, they'll sit there and talk about guys, comparing things and trying to understand, okay, what makes him better? Going, having arguments with coworkers. I mean, it's pretty intense. I've seen it. I've heard it, read it. You got to respect it. Just because you hear 1 or 2 bad things doesn't mean it's everybody. Everything is not fake news. You know, or just because it differs from your opinion, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have any validity to it. It just means just that. It's different from yours. And you can either choose to learn something or not. That's definitely up to you. But understanding the voting and the way everything has been, especially this year, I'm more so with the all NBA teams. I don't understand. Yes, there needs to be games played requirement. Yep, there needs to be a limit. You need to be able to play about, I don't know, 60 games, 65 games in order to be eligible. you playing like 50 games and still on the all NBA team when you have guys who've been giving it their all on a very consistent basis, taking all the criticism when they have bad games, and is also taking the praise when they have good games. That just comes with it. But if you're only playing a handful of games and happen to just play really well in those handful of games, like, come on. Like Desmond Bain, what he has done this year, that could have been a most improved award. You know, and I know some people are like, yeah, but Ja was, I don't feel like Ja was in that space. I think he deserves to be in the MVP running. And obviously due to injury is why he ultimately didn't cross that threshold, because who knows what could have happened. You know, that race would have been even like more crazy if you were voting on it. That would have been like, really, guys? You know, it was hard enough. But yeah, but that's just my humble opinion. There needs to be a certain amount of games played. If you're injured, sorry, I know it's part of the game. But when you have guys playing 76 games, playing their hearts out, the numbers are there. You shouldn't have that. They should be there for a reason. You shouldn't be rewarding people to not come to work. Otherwise, you're going to continue to get the same thing every other year. If you want things to change, change the rules. It's that simple. No other way around it. Guys are not just going to wake up saying, oh, I'm playing more games. No. I'm still going to make All-NBA if I play these many games or these many games. So why am I going to stress it? No. No. Have a limit. Have a cap. Let them know the least amount of games they can play. And then go from there. Because that does matter. It matters for the league. It matters for other guys who are putting in the work. Hard work should be rewarded. Anywho, that should be a given. But let's talk about the biggest debate right now when it comes to analytics, stats versus the eye test. Now, in my opinion, you need it all. The eye test, right? I mean, what backs up the eye test? Stats. It's supposed to translate, right? Now, does it always translate? No, not always. It depends on what stat you're looking at. Because there's a lot of guys that do things that will never show up on the stat sheet. Because if that's the case, we need more stats. You know what I mean? Like, we need more statistical categories in order to really see what certain guys bring to the table. Because if you're just the type of person that just looks at the highlights and the box score, you're missing everything. You have no idea what impacted the game. You don't see when the momentum ended, when it switched for another team, when a foul or a certain charge that was called, and you just felt the momentum just switch. You either saw the crowd erupt or you seen the crowd just have the air just sucked right out of them, and the other team just took full advantage. You miss all that with statistics. And that's another part that I feel like why the scores are so lopsided. Is because if you're the other team and you're looking for the advantage, right? And you're just going to your math guy and you're going to the guy who literally breaks down every single category and tells you what you should be doing next game. And then you do it to a T. And then obviously all that data is going to be flipped. Because then it doesn't become more of a feel thing. It becomes more of an analytical thing. Stay with me, I know. Now, just because I say I'm not big on stats, obviously my whole platform is pretty much built on the eye test, if you've been paying attention. It's the way I see the game for over 30 years. You know, obviously I've grown. The game has grown. I have grown. So naturally, you start to see the game a certain way. I believe in the eye test more than anything. And that's why I like the category of the plus or minus, because I think the plus or minus will kind of give you an idea of what that play, that particular player's impact was on the game when they were in. Now, it's huge when you see guys like Victor Oladipo and what they do on their defensive end, because you really get to see like, wow. Like, you just see the steel, right? You don't understand that that steel is what changed the whole momentum of the game. It's what got other guys involved. It gave the Miami Heat more possessions. You don't understand. Like, possessions matter. When you look at the end of the game and you look at, okay, Miami had 80 possessions versus Boston only having 60. Like, not saying that that was the exact number, but those things matter. And then some people don't like the cliche of it's a make or miss league, but it really is just that. It is a make or miss league. You can put your, as a coach, you can put your team in the best position to get the most possessions, to get the best high percentage shots. But at the end of the day, you can still lose because if those shots don't fall, it doesn't matter. Right? I've seen teams with very high turnovers. Warriors are big on that, right? Sometimes when you watch them play a little out of control and they just want to make all these different passes, and a lot of times that they don't realize those passes are not there and they just force things that shouldn't be there. You'll see those high turnovers. You'll see 20 turnovers and still win the game. And you're just like, how is that possible? Now, obviously, that's not what you want at all. They probably shot really well that game. It's just that simple. Because there's no way you can turn over the ball that many times and have a terrible shooting night and win. But it's, to me, the eye test is everything. It's all about the eye test. It's all about what you see. It's all about who wants it more. I'm very big on that. You saw who wanted it more last night. It was Miami. Miami wanted it. They were playing with an extra chip on their shoulder. They were playing with that edge. They were playing that, like that, oh, you don't think I can beat you? Injured or not, they willed their way through that game. Impressive. I can't wait to see the game 7. Who doesn't love a game 7? Boston fans, I know you're nervous, but this is going to show you a lot. This is going to show you a lot about your team moving forward. You guys will still have enough to build on. A lot of it was health. And I know I'm sounding like you guys already lost. No, I'm just letting you know for the future what you have. Like, you still have a lot to be proud of, just like the Miami Heat. But right now in this series, obviously Miami has a lot of momentum on their side. They're playing in Miami. You never know how things are going to shape out. You never know who Eric Spoelstra is going to put in the rotation next. Duncan Robinson's getting paid all that money. He's not in, but that's also for, you know, it's for good reason. I love how Eric Spoelstra's not like, oh, we paid you all this money, so I'm just going to keep playing you and keep, you know, forcing something that isn't working. Like, that's the genius. Like, it may just sound obvious, like common sense. Like, why would you continue to play somebody if it's a matchup nightmare and it could possibly end up making you lose the game? But some people are just, they refuse to understand that. They're like, no, we paid this guy a lot of money. We're going to keep putting him out there and he's going to keep playing. No, Eric Spoelstra is like, I don't like this matchup. Maybe in the next series we can see how we can adjust. But for right now, the guys that we have now, I like those matchups. I like our chances. And this is what I'm going with. Awesome. Playoffs are awesome, guys. I hope you've been enjoying it. Shout out to all the supporters. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with me. The show is doing so well. I'm sorry I haven't been here in a little while. Happy Memorial Day. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. I'm out. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.